You're listening to episode 238 of the Flip Empire Show with Alex Pardo.
Welcome to the Flip Empire Show, bringing you the interviews, strategies, and insights for smart real estate investors. Prepare to dive into the minds of real estate's heavy hitters and gain the cutting-edge expertise you need to scale and grow your real estate empire. Your success and freedom starts now with your host, Alex Pardo.
What is up, my friends? What is going on? Hope everybody is doing amazing today. And guys, I got part two here with my good friend and team member, Adrian Liao. First off, guys, I want to highly encourage you, if you haven't had the opportunity to listen to part one, go to flipempire.com/episode236. In that particular episode, we really dove deep on working with partners, joint ventures, understanding your unique ability, you know, being transparent. We talked about loyalty. Adrian has a slightly different take on, you know, chasing many rabbits and catching none. He's actually somebody who has positioned himself in a unique way to be able to take advantage and do more through other people than he might have wanted to do by himself. Kind of an interesting conversation we had. Again, Adrian, if you guys don't know, him and I have been working directly for about 3.5 years. He handles marketing and dispositions, on our team. And he's just such a huge part of our team and somebody who has become a close friend and has so much to give. So I wanted to get him on. Something I hadn't done in the past is bring on one of my team members. And, you know, there was so much that he could talk about. You know, he's got his own business and he's a speaker as well. And we said, look, man, why don't we do a two-part episode? And today on part two on this particular podcast, we're going to dive and go really, really deep into systems. And there's a lot of analogies we share. And we're going to give you kind of a different perspective on systems, you know, because I think it's so overused. Everybody understands the importance of having systems in your business. But I think that's to the detriment of many people. And that all they do is focus on systems and not focus on, you know, making money and quote unquote eating. You'll understand that analogy once you listen to the podcast. And we kind of take the show in a few different directions, and it's all centered around, you know, slowing down versus speeding up, but knowing when you have to devote time to systems. Adrian gives examples of systems, how he goes about creating them, etc. So, you know, I touch on this in the podcast, but if you're in hustle, go, you know, run mode, you need to listen to this episode. And conversely, if you're, you know, if you operate with systems and you're a systems oriented type person, entrepreneur, operator, you need to listen to this as well, because I think Adrian has, things that he shares and nuggets that he drops that you can really take away to implement in your business. So we're about to jump right into this. Enjoy. Adrian, AKA Afi, what's going on, buddy?
Hey, what's going on, Alex?
What's going on, my man? So yeah, guys, Adrian and I, first off, you heard the introduction. Again, I just want to take a quick second to encourage you guys to listen to part one that we did with Adrian. So if you guys don't know, go to flipempire.com/episode236. And we covered so much meat on there that I think is going to provide you with a unique perspective, a different lens from which to look through. If you're considering, hey, should I go at this business alone versus when should I partner? Who do I partner with? And so much more. And now we're going to kind of transition and pivot. Like, so Adrian and I have been working together for, Adrian, how long has it been now that you've been on the team?
Man, 2015, I think. No, 2015.
Yeah, about 3.5 years. And one of the things that, I mean, so Adrian brings so much to our team and so much to the table, but I really believe that just a few of his unique abilities, I mean, things that the guy can just do in his sleep is, you know, building systems, right? His understanding of the market and underwriting deals, outsourcing and automation. I mean, that's the guy's in his unique genius zone. If you guys know who Dan Sullivan from Strategic Coach is, you know, he kind of coined your unique genius zone. That is that's where he operates at his best. And, you know, Adrian spearheads marketing and dispositions for our team. And he kicks ass at that because he's operating his zone. And I think what I'd like to do on part two, now that you're listening, is kind of, you know, I'm going to peel back the layers of the onion and kind of jump into his brain a bit so that you guys can benefit from how he thinks, how he goes about building systems. What are some of the things he does in our marketing department to get our campaigns out, understanding our marketplace, and then, and just so much more. So if you're kind of flying by the seat of your pants, I think this episode is going to add a lot of value. If you're a systems oriented type entrepreneur or operator, you're definitely going to get a lot of value, because Adrian's one of the very best I know when it comes to putting systems together and then actually making them work. You know, because I think sometimes people spend time, you know, creating standard operating procedures, core processes, whatever you want to call them, implementing systems, but then not using them. So it's like, what good was all that for? And so, yeah, Adrian, man, I kind of want to kick it over to you, because there's a lot of different directions we can go in on part two here. But I want to just kind of toss it your way and see which, you know, where we want to take this as far as systems, outsourcing, automation, and then maybe some of the, you know, market analysis / underwriting things that you do for our team.
You got it, man. So it's funny, right before we hopped on the podcast, you and I chatted, and there's a lot of meat here, and I kind of made a joke that, man, you can interview me for each of the things I'm about to talk about, and we'll have part 6, 7, and 8.
I think maybe
the audience is going to love that, but I think for the purposes of efficiency, one thing about me is, you know, we can get into the weeds of all of these things, but at the end of the day, I want to give a very high level overview of how I think and how we kind of end up in this position. And if you kind of remember back to the first podcast that we did, you know, for what we do, for what you and I do together here in the Miami market, and with what I'm doing with other ventures in outside of this market in the rest of Florida, I apply the same concepts for how I'm about to go about things and explain. And I want to touch on one thing you just said, that the fly by the seat of the pants investors may kind of be lost in this. And I disagree. I think the folks who are the fly by the seat of your pants guys can also benefit, because one thing about me is, I've always wanted to keep, I crave order and chaos, order amidst chaos. And it's hard to grow within chaos. Alex, you can relate to that too. But yep. At the same time, you can't be too far one way or the other, in my opinion. You try to get so overly organized, and that actually hampered me when I just got started, because that was the analysis paralysis. I want to get everything right before I do something. That's bad. But at a certain point, you have to realize that the hustle component, the just fly by the seat of your pants, jump when a seller calls, jump on those appointments, that makes money. What would you rather do? So it depends on what stage you're in, but at some point you're gonna want to organize things, and that's kind of what I want to share with you. And I want to start off by saying that to follow up on what I just said, you know, there's no replacing hustle. If you have that hustle mentality, and Alex, I'm sure on other podcasts you talk about it, there's something about that get up and go and figure it out, build a plane as you're falling off the cliff. Mm-hmm. You absolutely have to hustle to grow and grow fast, but you have to systemize in order to scale and grow beyond that. And that's, I want to start off the podcast by saying that, because a lot of folks can get lost in trying to go one way or the other, just hustle and not having order and structure. And you wonder why you're going to always hit that limit to where things can't get further, or you get frustrated in your business. And then there's some people who think that all I want to do is organize things, and they never get off their get away from their computer. You're not going to get things done. So,
Adrian, it's interesting that you said that. Kind of before you kind of get into the heart of this, I 100% agree with you. You know that there's time to like where you have to like quote unquote hustle and go, and make things happen. I think if I want to play devil's advocate for a second and kind of give people the opposite viewpoint, is something that I discussed with Billy Alvaro, a couple episodes ago, is that sometimes you need to slow down in order to speed up, right? It's the whole analogy. I don't know if you've heard that story of, you know, there was a competition. There's like four dudes out in the forest, and, you know, they had to build a village, and in order to build a village, and I'm probably like jacking up the story, but in a nutshell, like, they were given a saw and they were out in the forest, and three guys, like when the competition started, three guys went out and they started just using the saw or the axe to chop the trees to start building like the village and the houses and all that stuff. Well, one dude took like 50% of his time sharpening his axe. And then when he actually started like swinging it and cutting down the tree, the other guys were like halfway through and he was done because he took the time to sharpen it. So I think there's a hybrid, right? There's a balance between what you just said.
And exactly. That,
you have to know, like, put things down and go. And then you also have to know when to sharpen that axe, when to slow down so that you can speed up. And it's tough to like tell people when, how to find that balance, but you kind of just find it as you go along. You just have to be very aware of it, right?
Agreed. And you know me, Alex, I'm the king of analogies, and I want to add to that, and I'll take some liberties with Billy here, but yes, you got to sharpen that axe, otherwise you'll never ever bring that tree down. In the meantime, how about you take a little knife and pluck out some weeds to keep yourself fed, or whatever, chop some smaller trees to keep yourself fed, because that's the concept. I don't know if that makes sense, but yeah. You got to take the big tree down, but you got to eat while you're doing it, right? So while you're sharpening the axe, how are you eating? How are you paying the bills, right? So that's where, so if all you're going to do is sharpen the axe, and it's going to take you months to do it, and then on month number six, you chop that tree down, you could start to death. and that's the point I'm trying to make, is I'm not undermining the power of the hustle. And I share this because this week in particular, as I mentioned in the first podcast, I'm also purchasing properties all over Florida with my cash buyer team. And at the end of the day, we're at a critical point where we've got a big team, we have huge goals to tackle essentially a deal a day, and we're falling short of that goal. And at the same time, what needed to happen was we need to just get back to the hustle and do more deals, but at the same time, not losing sight of the fact that order is going to keep us moving forward. So it's just, this is good timing to talk about this, and this is this resonates in my core that there is a balance that needs to exist. There is a hybrid, and this is what we're going to talk about.
Yep.
So I'm obviously going to focus more on, the system side, obviously, but at the same time, that's why I wanted to start off the podcast by saying that. So before I even start into any of this, I want to just spend about a minute or two talking about realizing what your strengths are, because again, to relate to what we just said, the hustle versus the systems, you got to realize what your strengths are. And what I usually do is, and this is something I think everyone will find a lot of benefit with, is kind of going through an exercise. And again, I know some of your listeners may be just getting started, some are very experienced, so some of this may make sense. But either way, like, do a quick assessment of who you are and what your strengths and what your weaknesses are, and not just go in with this blind optimistic approach that I can do everything. I love that, Alex, you and I are so big on personal development. But you need to analyze where you're strong and where you're weak. And I typically walk through an exercise where I call it a four quadrant exercise to figure out what are the things that you like doing. You know where I'm going with this, Alex. What are the things that you like doing that you're good at? What are the things that you like doing that you're bad at? What are the things that you hate doing but you're good at? And what are the things that you hate doing that you're bad at? You got to figure out where, and for real estate investors, this applies to any business owners, but for the real estate investing crowd, you got to figure out what you're good at. And what I mean by that is, I've always wanted to keep things organized right from the get-go. Before I got my first deal done, I wanted to outsource, automate, create all the perfect CRMs, and I'm sitting there and I did it. And then where the deal's coming from? At that moment when I just got started, I was bad at, and I did not like doing seller calls, the core of your real estate business. Where is your deal going to come from? I would not pick up that phone. And I realized that is something I didn't like doing. But what I loved doing and I was good at was creating systems. So you see where the imbalance lies, right? So at that point, I would have been better served being a highly paid consultant for real estate businesses. But that's not what I wanted to do. I wanted to be a real estate investor. So I had to figure out that piece. And the only thing that got me there was really getting in the trenches, picking up the phone, going on those calls, getting my hands dirty, right? And I graduated from being bad at it to being good at it. But I still didn't like doing it. And to this point, I still don't like doing it. But at the same time, I added that to something I was good at in order to realize how I can build a system or build a company that can take on that challenge. So I'm not going to go through every single aspect of the business, but the idea is I realize where my strengths are, and then but at the same time, I had to go back into that hustle mentality in order to get back to the place I needed to systemize, exactly what I said in the beginning of this podcast. So, Alex, I mean, I know that makes sense to you, and I don't know if you wanted to touch on that a little bit before I go into the details of the systems. But
man, you know me, man, so I'll always jump in. I'm usually never at a loss for words, but no, man, I mean, I think you covered that perfectly. I mean, I think it's crystal clear how you kind of laid that out, and I'm pretty confident that most people are going to understand where you're coming from.
Cool, man, cool.
But, you know, every once in a while, you actually sound like you know what the hell you're talking about, right?
I fake it pretty well, don't I, Alex?
Yeah. Messing with you, know I'm messing with you, bro.
Or I just have you fooled.
There you go. Right.
Right. But no, but going back to what my ultimate strengths are, I love to systemize the heck out of everything. And again, through you know, many years of actually, you know, being in the trenches, growing a business with you two, it's something I realized that it's not this big daunting thing that how am I going to do this, right? And of course, there's challenging components to it. But if I can't figure out how to bring order and organization to it, I don't know how it's going to grow. Mm-hmm. Because all you're going to be doing is essentially you're looking for the next meal. You're waking up and you're not knowing where breakfast, lunch, and dinner is coming from. And that's not a state that sits well with me. So I'll talk a little bit about the systems that you need for your real estate investing business. And a little bit of hint here. It's not as complicated as a lot of people make it out to be. I'm going to talk a little bit about market analysis, understanding where you need to be investing in your market or any market you choose to invest in, and having a marketing strategy. So once you've kind of laid out what you want to do, which is the systems, once you've analyzed where you want to go and hunt, how are you going to find them? How are you going to get your leads? Whether that's direct mail, whether that's online, any other format, like what's your strategy? And once those leads start coming in, how do you analyze those deals? I'm going to touch a little bit about what I like to call the lost art of underwriting or analyzing a deal. And Alex, this hits home, close to home for you and I. And from there, you start to look at automating and scaling and outsourcing. So those five things in general lie within my, what you call unique genius zone. This is stuff I love doing that I believe I'm very good at. And this is where I focus my strengths, not saying that the other aspects of the business are more important or not important, but this is what I focus on. So if you give me a few minutes here, what I'll talk a little bit about is number one, which is building strong systems. So when I say that, a lot of people think I'm trying to get the CRM down perfectly. I'm trying to figure out my phone numbers I'm going to use to call. I'm going to spend so much time. No. Starting out for the folks who are just getting started, who are listening, it could be as simple as a legal pad, maybe Microsoft Excel if you want to use a little bit of power, right? Like that's all you need, and a phone. You need nothing else for your systems, but think about that. Say you're just driving around finding leads and calling them. Cool, there's no problem. That's the hustle. But at the same time, hey, spend some time and figure out where these leads are coming from. That's the building blocks of systems. You take a legal pad, draw a couple columns in there, and keep stuff organized, right? Because what ends up happening? You call all these signs in the road. You see for sale by owner signs. You get some stuff coming from realtors. You have the conversation in the moment, or maybe you get a voicemail. How do you know, like, how are you going to grow from there? Like, maybe you luck out and the person answers and they're motivated and they're ready to see you right now and they're going to take your offer. If all those things, the perfect storm lines up, don't listen to anything I'm about to say from here, right? If you can do deals consistently with that stroke of luck, you should interview that person, and I'll pay them a lot of money to hear how they do it.
Yeah.
But my point is that's the building blocks of your system. Just kind of organize yourself, really basic, nothing complicated. And from there, take it to a Google sheet or an Excel sheet. Cool. And from there, take it to a CRM. I say this because, and Alex, you know this, I do speak on building business systems for a company called Advisors Education. And this is something I stress on, no matter what level of the business that you're in. And I've spoken to folks who are just getting started. I've spoken to folks who are kind of midway, very successful, but looking to grow. And quite frankly, I've actually trained and spoke with people who are doing way more volume, have way more experience than me. And it's not an ego competition, because there's things I learned from them. But these concepts that are within my genius zone, as you call it, is something that I've seen these other investors get immense value from. And it's how I simplify the process, because I think a lot of people tend to focus on, oh, you need to get the perfect CRM. Newsflash, there is no perfect CRM. I'm sorry if I'm offending anyone out there who's a CRM owner.
Adrian, but let me hit the pause button right there for a quick second and interject before you keep going. And I know you're in a flow here, so hopefully you don't mind, but mm-hmm. I'm so glad that you mentioned that, because one of the things that drives me crazy when I work with like a consulting client, or if it's just somebody that reaches out to me that they have some questions, whatever the case might be, is there's systems is so widely talked about, right? The importance of systems, going back to everybody has read, you know, Michael Gerber's E-Myth, and you know, it just, everybody talks about, hey, you got to have systems. It's like pounded into like people's heads, right? So I think that kind of sways the pendulum the complete other way, where now, you know, people are getting involved in the business. And like you're saying, they're spending so much time sharpening the axe that they're not eating in the meantime, i.e. they're spending so much of their time, energy, focus, and attention on building these systems, and they're not doing the things that are actually going to generate revenue for them. You know, i.e. marketing, getting in front of sellers, making offers, you know, all those types of things that ultimately lead to you getting a deal. They spend so much time in the CRM and trying to get every bell and whistle and every automation happening. It's like, it drives me crazy because you're not going to make money that way. Like, yes, that's important, but 10 years ago, I didn't have a CRM. Like, it was my, it was my flip phone, you know, a Excel sheet and a pen and a piece of paper and a computer, and I made it happen. Like, yeah, was I as organized back then as I am now? No. Is life a lot easier now because of all the technology and automation? Of course, but don't spend so much of your time on that that it, you know, it doesn't allow you to go out and do deals, generate money. There's got to be that. It goes back to having that healthy balance, right?
Correct. And I agree. And the truth is, and that's why I say what I say, because that was me 6-7 years ago, lose track of time. Yeah, about 7 years ago. And that's all I wanted to do. I had the perfect CRM set up. I had all my autoresponders keyed up, ready to go. Man, this thing was perfect. It's a thing of beauty. One thing it wasn't doing was making me money. So you have to find a balance, and that's, you hit the nail on the head. And again, it's, you know, when all else fails, that's all you need to do. But then again, what I said is you've got to hustle to grow fast, do the things that are going to get you there. But if you want to scale and grow, you got to get yourself organized. At that point, you're not going to scale and grow with just a legal pad. I mean, you know what I'm saying? And just writing stuff down, but it's the building block of what you're trying to do. That's the point I'm trying to make. Yep. And you just, yeah, exactly what you just said.
Yeah, exactly. Let me ask, Ben, I'm sorry. I have one more question, because I know for a fact there's several people out there that are hearing you and they're thinking to themselves, well, I'm just not an organized person, right? And the simple answer is to get organized, right? But that some people just have a challenge with that. Like, it's not their personality type, or they're just not organized. What would you say to those people? Like, any advice or suggestions for people that understand the importance of building systems, et cetera, but they're just not organized, right? Is it as simple as just getting somebody on their team to help them with that? Like, what are your thoughts?
Yeah, you kind of stole my second answer. I have two answers to that. And the first one is, newsflash, I'm not an organized person. Well, that's a lie. I am now. But I go back to the four quadrant exercise. I put you through. That's something that I was bad at before, or at least not good at. And I didn't care to be more organized. And that's something I have to graduate past out of that quadrant. And I'm not saying that every single thing you're weak at, you need to get better at. I mean, that's actually counterintuitive, but certain things you need to get better at. And if you think about it, any successful business owner out there, they're organized. There's no ways about it. They may not have started that way. Some of them do. I know people who are just OCD, you know, beyond comprehension, wink, wink, Alex.
me, but, OCD? No, not me.
I called you out there, buddy.
Totally, man. Yeah, I own it, man.
But you've always had that knack to want. And again, I've known you for 5 or so years, but that's the impression I've gotten right out the gate. And maybe that's the impression you had of me. But before that, there was a struggle in that department. And I realized I have to copy and emulate others who are way more successful than me, especially it's not just related to real estate. So the first thing, I know that's not what listeners who are not organized want to hear, but it's something you have to chip away at. Don't think you're going to read a book and all of a sudden happen overnight. Chip away at it. The second piece is to realize that this isn't my strength. So if this isn't my genius zone, if I'm best served pounding the streets, going on appointments, being on calls, there's, you know, if that's where you need to be and you could throw organization to the wind, you're going to need to find someone on your team who can really keep things organized and yourself organized. It could start as simple as like a personal executive assistant. It could start as simple as that. I think ultimately, depending on the level of organization that's needed, we're talking about someone else on your team that functions in a COO type capacity. I mean, there's varying levels to it. But if that person can balance that side of you, then it'll run well. Because I've seen people who have the assistants or the COOs who run their business, they're not the most organized people. But a funny thing happens, it makes them more organized, because now they don't have to worry about XYZ that they would otherwise have to worry about. And if you have the right system in place to get that person, that's how you get there.
And, so, and you want to know what age, I know you understand where I'm coming from because we live it. There's something that happens to your headspace, right? To the mental equity that gets freed up in your head when you know there's a system in place. And by the way, guys, a system doesn't necessarily mean technology or automation. There's human resources systems, you know, in other words, people. I mean, there's different levels and different types of systems. But back to my original point, when you can free up some of that mental headspace, you know, that you know something's getting done, there's a system in place, whether it's a person or whether it's technology, it allows you to accomplish and do so much more. I think, you know, it's not talked about enough that as entrepreneurs, and even if you're not an entrepreneur, if you have a 9-to-5 or whatever the case might be, it could be in your personal life. When you have things that occupy your headspace, it doesn't allow you to move as fast as if you didn't. It's almost like as if, no matter how small or how big, it's almost as if like we were running a race and I tied a 10-pound weight around your ankle. Like it's only 10 pounds. You're going to still move and you're going to still probably go, but just not as fast as if you didn't have that 10-pound weight around your ankle. And the same thing applies whether it's big or small. So, you know, sometimes I walk into people's offices and they have stacks and stacks of papers and just crap all over their desk. And I think to myself, they operate in that chaos, but they would operate so much more efficiently and so much faster if they didn't have that, despite the fact that they just, it's normal to them, right? Because that, believe it or not, that occupies some space in your head. The fact that you just have all this crap everywhere. I'm pretty confident in saying, let me know your thoughts. Let me know if you can have a different take on
it. For the second time on this call, I'll add to that analogy. You put that 10-pound weight, you'll move, but not as fast. The other thing that'll happen is it's going to wear you out. It's going to burn you out, and it may actually defeat you. Yeah. So, and the analogy is, yeah, you're not going to move as fast with chaos in your life, but at certain points, like that 10-pound weight isn't going to kill you, obviously, but at a certain point, it may make you want to give up or realize, man, this isn't really fun. This is not what I want to do. When all you have to do is reach down, take that weight off, and then regain that focus. Mm-hmm. And so of course I agree. And that's a really good analogy to that. And I like that we're spending time focusing on this because, again, going back to the point, the person, the investor who isn't the most organized may have a crazy desk. Listen, we're not making fun of you or saying they're a bad person for that. It's just a recognition that at some point that chaos needs to be released. You may not need to be the one who cleans that desk up. Right? But you need to get someone to help you with that. And the core of that, the building block of that is having systems in place, some form of systems. And I like that you said a system doesn't have to be automation, software, anything like that. It's essentially taking some time out. And Alex, you know, like I'm visual. I love flowcharts. I don't know if people are going to judge me for that, but every single thing I want to see visually. Like I want to visually have a flowchart of how I wake up, walk down the stairs, grab coffee. Like I want to flow chart of how that happens. I'm joking. I hope I'm joking, or you hope I'm joking.
But no, so it's funny. You know, some people like traveling. Some people like going out to dinner, or going out to party. You know, you'll call Adrian on a Friday night. I'm like, hey man, what are your plans tonight? He's like, oh, I'm building a flow chart. You know, I'm like, that's what he does, right?
You're not even lying. But the idea is that how many times have you heard or even if it's in your business, here's what I'm going to do. Step one, step two, step three, or this is what we need to do. Go. And then you wonder, and the same thing applies to if you have staff, employees, team members. Imagine if you're very clear in your head what needs to happen. You have a conversation. Okay, I want you to do X, Y, Z. Go. And then you expect miracles to happen as opposed to taking time. It doesn't have to be a flowchart. I just use it as an example of something visual. And Alex, we've worked together for 4 or 5 years. I try, communication and being very clear is very important to me because when something doesn't happen, don't blame the person who didn't do it. Blame the direction that they were given. And could I have been even more clear?
Because that really, really jumped out at me. Don't blame the person.
Yeah, don't blame the person who you've given the direction to. So whether that's a staff member, employee, etc., if they didn't execute your plan or your request the right way, Look inward. Look at yourself. Did I give them the right tools? Did I, before I even get there, did I explain to them exactly what needed to happen? Because if I didn't, how can I expect them? You know, I don't know if I should say this on the air. Maybe you'll edit me for this. But the idea is that don't give incompetent people, of course, I put a different word into there, but don't give stupid people, you know, important things to do. And I say that kind of tongue in cheek, but if you give an incompetent person not the most clear instructions and it doesn't happen, what do you think is going to happen? Like, really? And all you're going to do is put yourself in a bad state. You're going to get angry, and then you have to blame yourself. If you take the time to record a video, write an email step by step, do a flow chart, explain very clearly what needs to happen. And by the way, when you have a command of your business and you have a command of what needs to happen, you know how to explain it. But don't tell your acquisitions manager, for example, hey, go out there and bring me 30 deals and I want you to have 5 appointments. Go. And then when you come back with none or one, you're mad. Yeah. I mean, that's an extreme example. But give clear instructions. And then beyond that, give them the tools they need to succeed. So we're going to a whole other conversation in terms of how to motivate team members. But again, it comes back to the core of, are your systems in place? Mm-hmm. And do you have a systems-centric approach to how you do your business?
Can you give a quick example of it could be a simple system, whatever, just an example of a system and then how you go about putting that together? Because, you know, I don't want to just gloss over the fact and assume that many people understand what we mean by a system. And then, you know, how do you actually put together a system? And what just, I know I'm kind of like, you know, putting you in the hot seat, but can you just give an example of a simple system or any type of system and then how you've gone about putting one together?
Yeah, absolutely. And a perfect example is one of the other things I want to talk about today is I talked about the lost art of underwriting. So one thing that I kind of hold close to the chest on when it comes to my real estate investing business is just really hanging my hat and knowing how to underwrite it, knowing how to evaluate and figure out what a deal is. The challenges, and I do this, I love doing it. As I'm growing my business, the cash buyer team throughout Florida, one of the things is I realize I'm very good at this, but to be able to scale and purchase throughout the states, multiple counties, I can't be a bottleneck in that process. So I quickly realized I have someone on my team who's an underwriter. And most people don't have that person on their team. But for example, I needed to train this person in the process how to think like me. So imagine that. I bring someone on board and said, hey, listen, okay, I want you to underwrite and analyze, you know, 20, 30, 40, 50 deals a day and go, right? That's not a system. So what I did was essentially how do I get the processes out of my brain to where he can think like me. And I'm proud to say that he's, you know, I'd say 85, 90% as sharp as I am. And I'm not knocking him. It's just from just an experience factor that, you know, I feel like I can see things a little bit differently. But at the same time, how I put that system together is, okay, what's the first thing they need to understand? I have to understand the lead flow of how the business runs. So you're not going to be in a place to underwrite or analyze a deal before the deal has come into place. So once he has all the information, can he succeed? So the first, again, you take it back. If you're thinking bullet points or in my case, of course, a flow chart, but the first thing that happens, a lead comes in, does it have all the information that that's needed? Okay, if so, go ahead and I think I recorded a series of videos to explain, here's the first place you go. So take a quick look at Zillow, for example, see what the estimate says. Yeah, we know that's not accurate, but it puts you in the right frame of mind. How long did that take? 5 seconds, 10 seconds, if you're in the slow, right? Got it, got this estimate. Step two, pull up some comps using a couple free resources, Total View Real Estate, for example. I'm not going to go through all of them, but you just kind of get an idea really quickly. My idea is to run comps within 5 minutes or less, right? Mm-hmm. From there, we have MLS access everywhere we are. So going to the MLS, and that's the part where it takes a long time. And I don't want you to be spending there looking at all the pictures, looking at everything for 20 days. I've set things up, record the video. Click here, enter this, enter the address, draw this polygon, go. And I've explained how to do it. And step four after that is how to look at the numbers and have and understand where the ARV is. So, and I'm not going to get into the weeds, but the idea is I'm walking through the process to where he's never underwritten anything before. He's not a real estate anything. And I've been able to train him to successfully do things almost as well as I can. But I couldn't do that without laying out a system. So in my opinion, like I said, it could have been, I have an SOP risk just bullet points. Of course, I have videos inserted in there. And you, to kind of bring it home, that can be a very complicated way of doing it, but it could be as simple as, where do you need to go? What are the three things you need to look at? How do you look at these numbers? And then make your assessment and send me a report.
Yeah.
Perfect. It's as simple as that, as opposed to just saying, hey, here's a bunch of deals and you figure it out. So that's one example in many systems that I've put together. And I want to say that, is that perfect? It's not perfect. And I think you have to strive. Alex, you and I just went through a process where we're reviewing what we call our core processes or SOPs for our business. And it's a fluid document. There are things that are going to need to be added, removed, edited, and right. But the idea is, do we have something to work with, and does our team understand it? That's the first part.
That's right. So, no, and you know, one of the things we talk about, especially Adrian, you know this, man, having gone through the EOS process this year, is, you know, our core processes, similar to like our accountability chart, these are living, breathing documents. They need to be looked at on a frequent basis. You know, they look at the very minimum, I would suggest on a monthly basis and update it as they go along. You know, one of the mistakes that I realized that we made, Adrian, is you remember when you know, you jumped on board, we have an SOPs app and we had probably over 100 SOPs in there, but the videos were, you know, 20, 30, 60 minutes long. And when we brought in our EOS implementer, he's like, no. Like, that's like, what happens if something changes? Which, by the FYI, it frequently does, right? Whether it's technology or whatever the case might be, like, you update the way you do something. Now you got to go back and re-record a 30 or a 60 minute training video. And we learned a much better way to do it. You know, chunk these things down in 1 to 3 minute bite-sized videos. So that if something changes, all you got to do is go back and re-record a 1 to 3 minute video. You know, same thing with your SOPs and the list goes on and on. So believe me, we've made a ton of mistakes in this area, but don't just think that you create a system, you document it, and you never look at it again. If you're doing that, you know, you're kind of just wasting your time.
Exactly. But again, imagine if we didn't have, it's not to say that our 20, 30, 60 minute long videos and the way we were doing things 4 or 5 years ago was wrong. Guess what? We had a system. It needed to be improved, and we worked on it. And it's how you have to think, as opposed to, okay, we have to tackle this process for the first time ever, and I've never thought of putting this on paper. Going back to the core of what I'm trying to drill home is that there needs to be some kind of system and organization to how you approach your business.
Yeah.
So, and we went way more into that, and I hope it was valuable, but into the systems component. And the takeaway again is, don't overcomplicate it. It will get more complex as you grow, but take it one bite at a time. Just understand that organization and component needs to be part of your business mindset.
Yeah. No, and I think the last point here, Adrian, and we'll start to kind of wind it down, but, you know, I'm working with someone now that doesn't have any systems implemented in their business. They're successful, they're making money, but they're just kind of running and gunning, right? They're hustling. And he was kind of overwhelmed by the process of creating systems and like, where do I even start? There's so much that goes into like each component. I said, dude, you know, that again, back to an analogy, how do you eat an elephant, right? One bite at a time. Like, just carve out, start small, carve out an hour a week, which anybody and everybody can do, and just pick one department that, you know, so for example, for him, he wanted to focus on marketing. You know, he wanted to get somebody to help him with marketing. So I said, okay, well, what's your main marketing channel? Okay, it's direct mail. Beautiful. Now let's take direct mail and let's start to chunk it down, reverse engineer the process. Start from step one. When you want to send out a direct mail campaign, what's the first thing you do? And just carve out an hour a week and just devote that hour to just focusing on that system. Document it. Create your small chunks, bite-sized videos. Create an SOP. By the way, I like to create videos and then send them off to my VA and have her create the standard operating procedures. Right? She's much better at it than I am.
Sure.
Adrian, I mean, you know, we've gone through that process several times. So don't think you need to do it all yourself. Sometimes it makes sense to get help, but just don't get overwhelmed with the process that you don't even start. You know.
And if I may just add to that a little bit, and I touched a little bit on how I approach underwriting, and I kind of gave you a peek into the systems that I have. You mentioned your marketing strategy. How do you get your direct mail campaigns ordered? Like all these things, it comes back to saying like how you do something is how you do everything. And if you're just, again, running and gunning is great. And trust me, there's folks running and gunning who are maybe making a lot more money than us. And it's not about that really. It's not about measuring that. It's about, is it going to allow you to scale and grow your business? And just think about every single aspect of your business. In real estate, we're talking about marketing, we're talking about acquisitions, dispositions, transaction coordination, and whatever other components you have, maybe if you're a rehabber or a landlord. But either way, every component of your business, do you have some structure and organization to how you're doing it? Take a good look at it and how could implementing some form of a system help me to do that department better? Focus on that, and then that will serve the bigger goal in terms of making you and your business better. Tackle it one department at a time, one role at a time, and figure out how you can make things more streamlined. And I touch on the marketing side because something as simple as that, people don't put much attention to it. They just said, hey, let's just send a bunch of postcards out. You and I, Alex, I mean, definitely once a month, sometimes more, but we look at it a month in advance. Okay, well, what marketing campaigns do we want to go out for? What's our budget look like? What is the minimum number of leads that we need to have to make sure that we keep our numbers and maintain our numbers? And from there, we reverse engineer the process. Past that, we schedule out 4 weeks in advance. Here's what needs to happen. We do all the things that we need to do, and we convey that to our mail house. And it makes their job easier. Think about it. Like, that's actually something that we don't even think about. So make your job easier and make the people that your vendors, your team members, your JD partners, make everyone that you're working with, make their lives easier. But it starts with you cleaning up the clutter on your desk first.
Yep. 100%, man. So, dude, I want to kind of end the show on this. This has been awesome. I know people are going to really enjoy this and get a lot out of it. So on part one, at the end of it, you know, you'll remember, and I won't tell people what the answer is. You're going to have to go back and listen to it if you haven't. But I always ask, you know, kind of rewind the clock 10, 15 years. What's one piece of advice you would share with yourself knowing what you know now about business or about life? I kind of want to, you know, alter that question a little bit, but more focus it on your experience as an entrepreneur, as a real estate investor. You know, you're involved in heavily in our team. You have your own business. What's the one thing you wish you would have done sooner as it relates to being a real estate investor and being an entrepreneur? Like if you could, knowing what you know now, if you could kind of go back to the beginning, and I'll kind of throw a softball your way. Like some people have told me, man, I wish I wouldn't have wholesaled as many properties. I wish I would have like held on to more of these properties. That's an example of like what I've heard in the past. Is there anything that kind of jumps out at you that you say, shit, man, I wish I would have done this, you know, knowing what I know now as it relates to your business?
Knowing what I know now, it's funny. It's on topic with what we're talking about today. I wish that I hadn't spent so much time trying to systemize, trying to create everything perfectly and not just getting out there and doing deals. I'm obviously way past that now. And to where it's kind of come full circle, to where I tell people, I'm at least using my powers for good, not evil. Because 6-7 years ago, I was using those powers for evil. I was psyching myself out, staying behind the computer, not figuring out, you know, grabbing the soil, smelling the air, you know, I wasn't doing that. So I definitely would change it. But at the same time, a lot of good came out from it. But again, it could have easily gone the other way, to where I stayed behind the computer and that would have defeated me, because I would have never started to experience success as an investor. So I would have definitely, and it goes contrary to what we're saying, that yes, you got to systemize to grow, but let's, and a good place to end this podcast is how I started it. There is a balance, the hybrid between the hustle and the systemizing component. At that moment, 7 years ago, I needed to hustle and I was systemizing. Now, for the past few years, I've focused on the systemizing component because that's a natural progression of business. So it's kind of like I put the cart before the horse. Yeah. Even though it was the right cart. It was the right cart, absolutely. And I'm glad that I have that brain to think that way. But in the moment, it was around timing. So that's what I would have done differently.
That's awesome, buddy. That's awesome. No, perfect way to end the show, man. Where can people connect with you, whether it's social media or otherwise? What's the best place to people, you know, reach out if they have questions, they just want to kind of touch base?
Yeah, I mean, I'm on LinkedIn, social media, Facebook. You can find me there. You can hunt down Alex to get a hold of me too. I'm kind of joking, but yeah, feel free to reach out to me. I'm pretty available and happy to chat with anyone who has any questions on this.
Yep. He has been nicknamed. Should I throw out your nickname, like your most recent nickname, or is that going too far?
Go ahead, buddy.
Yeah. Your so Adrian is the Jamaican persuasion. Like that's his new nickname. So he's half Jamaican, half Asian. He's tall, got long hair. So, you know, the dude stands out and he's good at what he does. So he's been nicknamed the Jamaican persuasion.
I know Alex is, he's pretty proud of that nickname you came up with. And I like it. I knew you couldn't go the whole podcast without talking about my hair, buddy. So
I know you get it. Don't be so sensitive. I didn't even say anything. I just said you got long hair. That's all I said, man.
Yeah, you should hear what you say every other day.
No. You see, we're not going there. So awesome, guys. Yeah. So, hey, man, again, buddy, thank you for the time. I feel like I probably talked to you almost as much as I talked to, you know, the closest people in my life, and you're definitely one of them. So, you know, I want to acknowledge you publicly on the podcast for just everything that you've done for me, you know, just going, living one of our core values of going above and beyond, and just for everything you do, man. So really appreciate you, buddy.
You got it, man. Yeah, right back at you as well, man.
All right, guys. And hey, listen, I want to hear back, like, you know, tag me on social media, you know, fire questions my way, either via emailing me at alex@flipempire.com, or if you go to flipempire.com, click on the Ask Alex link. You can send me an audio question. Let me know your thoughts. Let me know if there's anything in particular that Adrian and I covered that you want us to go deeper on the next time. And if you have any feedback, any suggestions on how I can make the show better, how I can impact you, your life, your business, in a bigger and a better way, let me know. I want to hear from you because you're the reason that I'm doing the show and nothing else. You know, this is an opportunity for me to give back. And while I'm on here, I want to try to impact you to the best of my ability, bring guest experts on like Adrian and others. So again, I want you to know how much I appreciate you for taking the time to listen to the show. And, you know, you can really thank me by just going out and implementing. You know, going out, I hate to use the phrase taking action because it's just so overplayed, but execute. Just focus on executing and building the kind of business that you want to build. So I'll end the show on that. Adrian, we'll talk in about 10 seconds. I'll call you offline. And yeah, guys, have a great one.
That's all for this episode of the Flip Empire Show. But we have you covered with even more expertise and resources on our website. Text EMPIRE to 67076 or head over to flipempire.com to join the newsletter and gain free instant access to our video module training course called 5 Ways to Scale Your Real Estate Wholesaling Business to 6 Figures in 6 Months or Less. For more interviews, strategies, and insights for the smart real estate investor, we'll catch you next time here on the Flip Empire Show.